In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow. There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Hey there, friends. Welcome to another installment of Strange Planet. And it's stranger than you can possibly imagine. And if you'd like to get deeper into Strange Planet and follow me down the rabbit hole, you can become a premium subscriber. It's real easy to do. Just click on the link in the episode notes, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. You gain access to commercial-free listening, special bonus episodes twice monthly that are produced exclusively for premium subscribers, and you also receive my monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. So I received a rather disturbing, kind of chilling email from a good friend of the program and a friend of mine. Let me just read it here. I hope this finds you well in these tempestuous times. So here's the scoop. I've put my writing on hold of late after experiencing a close encounter with an amazing entity a year ago. I produced a short 20-minute documentary on the encounter, which reveals a cloaked 7-foot reptilian. Note, I am 100% serious. This is real, not imagined, and not a hoax like so you so often see in the media on podcasts these days. Max. Max, as in Max Hawthorne, American author, screen and songwriter, avocational paleontologist best known for his amazing Chronos Rising series of sci-fi suspense thrillers. He's known to his fans and to my listeners as the Prince of Paleo Fiction. Giving up writing? Whatever happened to Max, and we're going to find out, it obviously has changed the trajectory of his life. Max Hawthorne, welcome back to Strange Planet. How are you?
I'm good, Rich. Thank you very, very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
This happened to you a year ago. I'm trying to remember.
February 16th of 2023, to be exact. The first incident.
Right.
Just to be clear.
Okay. So let's just, I'll have you slowly walk us through what happened. Maybe there's a kind of a build up to this story, and I'll, from time to time, I'm going to interject and just ask maybe for clarification or whatever comes to mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Thank you. Well, the footage that viewers and listeners can see on the website, on the documentary, was filmed by myself on February 16th around 4 something in the morning. It's on the, you know, the timestamp and everything is on there. And I was staying at a house in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, a private residence that's in a heavily wooded area. Bucks County is notorious for lots of cryptid activity, UFO activity, etc. Dozens of dogmen sightings, some of them 9 feet tall. Just a lot of scary, bizarre stuff.
I've done shows specifically on paranormal Pennsylvania and Bucks County. You're right. It comes up time and time again. A lot of cryptids, UFO activity, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So what happened is this initiated because, I guess, let me think about this, 7 or 8 years ago, it would have been of November of 2016. I don't remember the exact date off the top of my head. I think it was November 28th or 22nd. I'd have to check, but I was driving home with my daughter from aftercare. She was only 7 at the time. And it was maybe 6:30 at night. It was already dark out. And, you know, late November, obviously in the East Coast, it's dark at 4 p.m. But and it was a windy night with some flurries, but the temperatures were a little above freezing, so it wasn't sticking. And as we were driving along, we're going through this development. Again, these are all in wooded areas for some reason. And there was what I thought was an object lying on the road ahead of us. There was nobody else out there. I mean, everybody was having dinner already, you know, 6:30, whatever. And I said out loud, I said, oh, Pino, we've got a, you know, something on the road ahead, like just looks like some debris or something. So she leaned over in her car seat. So she was watching it too, which I'm glad, because if I was the only one who saw it, I would have thought I had, it was a madman. But, and there was what I thought was a small dark box, you know, in the center of the road. So I slowed to a crawl and I started straddling it with my tires because I didn't want to run over it because, you know, anything could be in that box, nails, you know, you don't want to get a flat. And as I was approaching it, the box started to move, the box. And since it was windy, I thought, well, that's a flap of the box and it's dark. So, it, you know, it's just popping up, but it wasn't, it was some little being, some creature that was like pushing itself upright. And I mean, I've spoke about this once or twice on, you know, some other shows and stuff, but I believe it was injured. That it got maybe attacked by an owl, hit a power line or something like that, and had crash landed in the middle of the street. And it was just lying there stunned or whatever when we came upon it. So it pushed itself upright and it was looking right at me. I came to a full stop at this point, and I would say it was at most 20 feet from my headlights. And we were staring at each other, and it let out this, well, you couldn't see, hear the screech or whatever it was, sound it was making, because the windows were closed and it was, you know, windy, but, and its face kind of went like that, you know, it was like the screeching and like screeching and like, I don't know, anger or fear or both.
Right. It's open. Yeah, its mouth is a its mouth is a gape. So you're assuming it's kind of letting out a screech.
Yeah, and it had black eyes, and the mouth looked like it was black.
How tall?
Its head was about the size of an apple. Okay, this isn't the reptilian. This is what led up to the reptilian being filmed. Okay, but which shows you like that whole area, you know, has stuff. If you're unfortunate enough or fortunate enough, as you know, people's views vary, to run into it. So I think it was about a foot and a half tall at most as it started to stand up. And like I said, we were staring at each other, and I was supposed to be a veterinarian. I gave that up for, you know, personal reasons of not wanting to kill animals and stuff. But anyway, and so I know a lot about the animal kingdom. Okay. And my brain was fast forwarding through every species in the Northeast and stuff, like, you know, raccoon, opossum, this, you know, groundhog, blah, 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 blah. And it was nothing that matched this thing. It sort of looked like the homunculus from the old, like, Sinbad movie, you know, like the Golden Boy or something like that.
Yeah.
But with larger eyes. And anyway, so I came a full stop, and I was like, I said, like, what the
Yeah, your daughter's in the car with you. Your daughter's in the car. Yeah, so, yeah.
Right. Not to mention, I don't know what, you know, on the radio here. And is that? And right then, it sprang up in the air, and it had wings, which I didn't know at first. That's why I said it, maybe an owl attacked it or hit a power line. And the wings just came out, and it had a wingspan probably of between 3 and 4 feet, on a guess. It wasn't. It was a substantial wingspan, like, you know, like bird size, but compared to the body or something. And the wings were, there were two sets, like a dragonfly's. They were bug-like, insect-like, okay? Transparent, but they weren't shaped like a dragonfly's, where one is slightly larger than the other, and they didn't have that unusual taper. These were like elongated ovals, you know, like
right.
And the same size. And they were vibrating like this, like that. It was like hovering or something like that. And at this point, and I've said this before, when it was on the ground, it was like a dark gray color. And when it was in the air, which was about eye level with me, 20 feet away, okay, it looked different. So I think it could change its color. You know, I think when it was on the asphalt, it was trying to hide itself by matching the color of the asphalt, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And when it was in the air, it looked different. It looked like energized, ethereal, like silvery white almost, or something like that. Like its body was different and almost transparent. And the wings were like, would have been invisible, except the edges were lit up, I guess, by my headlights. And they were glowing, like they were like lights were shooting around them. I guess, and it was sort of like doing this thing. And my daughter was like, it's a fairy, Daddy. It's a fairy.
Yeah, that would have been my first thought. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then its head, like, it saw her for the first time, I think. And then it went like, shoosh, and it took off over the roof of the truck, and it was gone. It was incredibly powerful flyer. I mean, fast. Okay. And my whole world was like, woo.
I guess.
You know, and because, you know, I might write science fiction, but, you know, seeing it up close is not the same thing. Okay.
You're just sitting there in the middle of the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stunned.
Yeah. And, you know, she was walking on air because she just saw a live fairy, and now fairies are real. Okay. And me, I'm like sitting there talking to myself. And we walk into the house, and I'm still, and I just go straight to a computer, and I'm looking up everything from the prehistoric dragonfly Megalorna, whatever its name is, from the Triassic or whatever, or the Carboniferous period, I think it is. And my daughter was like, Mommy, we saw a fairy. We saw a fairy. And she was like, oh, that's so nice. And she thought she was kidding.
Right.
You know, but she wasn't. And, you know, I couldn't explain it. You know, there was no bats that size. It wasn't a bat. It didn't have bat wings. It was way too big in addition, you know. So the point is I knew this creature existed, and I don't know if this was a one-off, you know, I don't know where it came from, if it was an ET, it could have been anything, you know. So I had gone on a mission then for different areas and around there in the woods and stuff like that. I would put out like trail cameras, and if I have friends that, you know, use their houses, especially if they said they'd seen something, you know, unusual, etc.
Right.
And
because you don't live in the woods, your place isn't in the woods. So you wanted to.
Yeah, I live in a private community.
Yeah.
I mean, I have woods near me, but it's not like, you know, well, I'm not in the woods, if you know what I'm saying. So, yeah. So what had happened is a few months before I got the cloaked creature. I don't want to call him a creature. I think it's disrespectful. The cloaked being on film. Okay. I had had a trail camera at this one place, and I had gotten, after years of stuff, like a few frames of one of these winged beings, this flying thing. Okay. And the thing, they were so fast that the trail camera would be triggered by motion. But by the time it was went live, the thing had already crossed the entire, you know, camera lens, whatever width, screen width in front of it. And you only got like three frames at the very end.
Well, how do those trail cams work? What are they like? They don't record fluid motion. They record what? Like every second?
No, you have a choice. You can do actual regular video. You can do infrared video, or you can do individual frames also, or both. Okay, depending on the camera. I have some pretty good quality cameras, and I've actually modified them to make them harder for to be detected. Okay, which comes in handy, believe it or not. So, yeah, but I got like of those frames, one of them was very telling, you know, and it will probably lead towards a documentary in and of itself, because you can see this being flying, the four wings, the limbs, the head sort of looks like an elongated ET kind of head. It has large eyes, there's black eyes I told you about, et cetera. So I was like dancing on air that I got, you know, like finally got some proof of like that I'm not losing my mind, as one of my siblings, you know, accused me of and gave me so much abuse that I stopped talking to him.
Wow.
And that was like 7 years ago. Okay. So I hold grudges. But anyway, so yeah, so I was at this residence there, and I'm a bit of a vampire. And when I say a vampire, I don't mean a literal vampire. There's a 1,000-year-old Viking cross here, okay? Kievan Rus. So, you know, I'm not like, you know, anything like that.
No, but you just keep late, strange hours, like me.
Yeah, I don't sleep well often, et cetera, okay? Strange stuff. So, yeah, so it was like 4 in the morning or something like that. The time is on the video and everything. And in this house, they have a cat. And the cat was, like, losing its mind. It was like at the windows, and it wanted to get out on the deck and stuff. And it was seeing something. It was so excited, you know, and everything. And in retrospect, I imagine that it saw the cloak, the energy field, and that was what was exciting it, like the swirling thing that we're going to talk about in a second. And because if it saw what was in the cloak, I think you would have been a little hesitant.
Would have been under the bed. Or
more like whoa. What we got here, you know, this type of stuff.
Again, this is four in the morning.
Yeah, four something. I don't remember exactly. Obviously, it was pitch black out. But so I, being an idiot, and again, this explains why women live longer than men, because we do stupid stuff, okay? So I just decided, well, I guess I'm going to go out there and see what's out there. You know, and so I go out there, and I like the trail camera was on the top of a post on the stairs. And so I went down the stairs. I was behind the trail camera there, and I'm looking, and I was like, you know, like I had this feeling like one of these things maybe was I was going to get lucky, was going to burst through the tree line, you know, or something like flying by, because I didn't know that there'd be anything else unusual out there back then. I didn't know.
Right.
Okay. So, so my plan was, and what I did was, I started getting this like this this feeling as if like when you take like a balloon, if you rub your arm on it, like the back of your arm or something,
static
like that,
electricity,
you know, your hand,
yeah,
you get like this, your hair will stand up a little bit, this type of stuff, you know, you feel this pull. Or it was kind of like if you've ever been out, like I fish a lot, if you're out on a boat and a storm front is moving towards you, you know, and it has a lot of like electricity to it, let's say, you know, you can feel that barometric pressure, etc. So there was something like that going on, and the temperature dropped all by itself, like just dropped, like something hit you, like a wave of cold, and you were in it. Okay. And and you'll see this on the video, because when, because when I recorded, the temperature was like I think 48 degrees, if I'm not mistaken, and then as the entity backs away, you see it jump up to 50 degrees at the end there. So you can see that there's a differential temperature generated by what conceals this being.
The trail camera is recording the temperature in real time.
It records everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, not everything, but, you know, temperature, yeah.
Just a second, Max, we should point out, just, and we're going to roll into a break here in a second, but people can see the video at MaxHawthorne.com. The link is in the episode notes. Max Hawthorne, HAWTHORNE, MaxHawthorne.com. And it's a Max Hawthorne's Supernatural Survivor. Real videos, real evidence, creatures you thought didn't exist, but they do. And I'm wondering, is this a ghost, demon, or an extraterrestrial caught on film, or in this case, a trail cam video in Bucks County, Pennsylvania? We'll take a quick time out. Back to more of my conversation with Max Hawthorne. What did he see?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. We're now crossing a zone of turbulence. Please return your seats and food trays to their upright position and make sure your carry-on luggage is safely stowed. You're about to leave everything you know behind. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Strange Planet.
And we're here with Max Hawthorne, best-selling author, prolific author of the Kronos Rising series of books. He's known as the Prince of Paleo Fiction, and he stopped writing, or at least he's put it on hold of late because of something he saw just over a year ago, captured on a trail cam. Just very quickly, by way of recap, let me read the email he sent to me the other night. I hope this finds you well in these tempestuous times. So here's the scoop. I've put my writing on hold of late after experiencing a close encounter with an amazing entity a year ago. I produced a short 20-minute documentary on the encounter, which reveals a cloaked 7-foot reptilian. Then in parentheses, note, I am 100% serious. This is real, not imagined, and not a hoax like you so often see in the media and on podcasts these days. And you can check out the video at Max Hawthorne with an E, Max, HAWTHORNE.com. The link is in the episode notes. And we should point out the video is behind a paywall. I mean, you've put your writing career on hold after this encounter. So, you know, you need to recoup some of your earnings, obviously.
Well, I mean, it's not expensive. I mean, people subscribe, and there's going to be a lot of these documentaries. I will tell you a teaser about the one that's coming next if you want me to later on.
Yeah, but, for sure.
So, I mean, I'm writing, directing, and producing this stuff and funding it myself, which is different for a writer. Usually you write a book, they give you money, and everybody's happy. You know, you get paid for every book. But here, I mean, if people wanted to do like just a 2-day like Netflix-style rental, it's like $6 or $7, which is like the price of a Starbucks coffee in some cases. You know, this is different. This is real. Okay. It's not the BS that's out there. It's not the, you know, whatever, like, you know, anything I put out there is my rep on the line is the genuine stuff. Okay. And that's just the way it goes.
So you're at a friend's house in Bucks County. It's after 4 a.m. and you have positioned a trail cam on top of a post at the, I guess, the bottom of the stairs in the on the back patio.
On a deck. The end of the deck. Yeah,
right. So you see you're up roaming around in the house, and the cat seems to be going bonkers. It sees something outside. You decide, well, I'm going to go and check out what's out there. Maybe it's that same fairy-type entity that you and your daughter saw back in 2016. So you go out there, and you feel this kind of a bit of an electrical, static electrical charge, you know, the hairs in the back of the neck.
And a cold front came right over you.
Like a little wall. Yeah. I mean, textbook stuff that people experience when they're in the presence of, you know, the paranormal.
Well, it was new for me. Let's put it that way.
No, but yeah, go ahead.
But, I was expecting one of these winged creatures to fly out of the trees and stuff like that, especially with all this like stuff and everything. So I flashed the camera, meaning I wanted to catch it, you know, like with more footage, so, you know, catch it before it like bolted past. So
what does that mean? Flash it? What do you mean?
Well, that's what I call it. Oh. Well, I took my hand. Okay. And let's say the camera is in front of you. Yours is the back of the camera. And I leaned and I went like this.
Because it's motion sensitive.
Right.
So you're activating.
Motion sensor.
It's activating.
And I do this. Yeah. I do this all the time when I will be out somewhere. If I have like a trail camera and I'm using it handheld to do infrared video, you know, I will either turn it on and time it, where I will flash it to turn it on. Okay, so, and I have gotten some amazing stuff this way. So that's why I said there's going to be more of these documentaries. So, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking again. But anyway, so I set record, and then I waited, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked, all like, you know, and nothing happened. But it was starting to get really creepy out there, and the hairs, as you said, were on the back of my neck, were really going up now. And I started getting a feeling like maybe this wasn't the best idea. And, you know, anything could be out here, you know, a bear, whatever. I had seen mountain lion tracks one time. So they say there's no mountain lions in PA. Well, they're wrong. But anyway, and so I decided, you know, discretion being a better part of valor, whatever, I went back inside. In the morning, I got the footage. And I was looking at it, and it looked weird. And I was like, well, that's the only footage I did, you know, so this is it. And it looked like as if there was some sort of, and you've seen the video.
Yeah.
At first glance, it looks like some sort of energized fog or something like that.
Yes.
You know, it just covers the entire screen almost, and it's swirling like that.
It's kind of diaphanous. I mean, you can see through it. You can see the railing of the deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a railing there behind it, off to the side, I think to the right or something. And like a cast iron railing or whatever. I don't know if that has any bearing on things. But so I was trying to explain it away. And there wasn't any snow or hail or fog. I mean, when people watch a documentary, I analyze every aspect of it. You know, so this is not a weather balloon. This ain't swamp gas or anything like that. Okay. You forget all that stuff right now. So I thought, well, maybe it was an insect and it had landed on the camera and it's, you know, like, it's, you know, how like a lot of bugs, like flies, they have like translucent wings.
Yes.
And maybe that was covering the lens or something like that. Well, I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. It's February and the only, you know, bugs I'm aware of, insects that are like winter moths, and their wings are not transparent or translucent or anything like that. So it was a mystery. You know, and I pondered this thing, staring at this footage and stuff like that. And the cyclone like pattern or the energy flow, it sort of looked like plasma to me, you know, seems so odd. And I'm like, I'm trying to make heads or sense, head or tails of this. So I started adjusting the contrast, okay, increasing it. And for people that, you know, the most simplest of terms, when you increase contrast, you make lights lighter or brighter and darks darker.
Right.
Okay. So if you had like a light bulb in the middle of the woods in the dark there, and you saw it at first with infrared, you know, or near IR in this case, you would see a light bulb, you would see glow around it, and then it would fade to the darkness around it. But if you kept increasing the contrast, eventually what would happen is that glow would compress, until eventually there was just a light bulb shape that probably would be solid white.
Right, okay? Right. So just a quick question. Is this trail cam recording infrared?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yes. It is what's called near IR video. So it's not a thermal, which I've been working with a lot of thermal stuff also. And I got some crazy stuff. Boy, I have images of NCEs, as I call them, which means in the Max Hawthorne world, non-corporeal entities. I have images of NCEs that will make your hair fall out.
Wow.
I mean, you're like, you know, like that was there, you know, like I don't know, they're astral or ethereal or they're just cloaked, but tons and tons of stuff. So anyway, but that was developed after this whole experience. Okay. Cause this was like the first step where, like you said, I was like, I fell into the rabbit hole, like, you know, and then your life is never the same. Fortunately, my writing skills include screenwriting, so I'm able to write documentaries as well as, you know, everything else. So I'm not completely shelving writing, but I'm sure there's a big book in this somewhere. So what happens is I start increasing the contrast, and you've seen the documentary because it shows the full contrast and then like, I think 50% and then 80% and even 90%, et cetera. And the higher the contrast goes, the more the field contracts.
Yes.
And by the time you get to 80%, it becomes obvious that the field is now humanoid.
Yeah. There's a form there. Yes.
Yeah. You see, it's like a profile picture on social media. You know, you're like what you're seeing from me now. Okay.
Yeah.
Head, neck, shoulders.
Yep.
Max needs to get back to the gym, whatever. Okay. This type of thing. And that's what it was shaped like. Okay. So I was like, well, that's interesting. You know, I'm like, what? I'm thinking, like, what am I looking at here? Okay. Now I have a large monitor. So I had the thing on there and I reduced the speed and then I started going through it, you know, just toggling through a few frames at a time. Mm. Click, 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 click. It's 20 FPS frames per second. And I was working my way through. And somewhere in the middle of the footage, all of a sudden, I was staring at a face. And yep. It was one of these moments where you're like, you get a chill. You know, and I'm looking at this face and I'm like, I'm like, what the HE double hockey sticks is that? And I have found myself using that phrase so many times in the last year, because when I find something new and it's something crazy, I'm like, what the is that?
Right.
You know,
and the obvious question is, this is nothing. This isn't an artifact that was produced by the internal mechanism of the camera.
It moves.
Yeah, it moves.
And okay. It has eyes and it has teeth. Okay. And a lot of other stuff. And it's not just in that one spot. You know, and I addressed all this stuff, like this is whether this could be a reflection or this or that. You know, I've never seen a reflection with a conical head, a heavy brow ridge, heavy cheekbones, a massive jaw, a flattened muzzle, eyes with vertical pupils, and sharp teeth. Not to mention a neck, a throat with scales on it.
Okay. Yeah, sounds reptilian. Like yeah, sounds reptilian. Yeah.
And he's a big boy too. Okay, like I said, conservative estimate, he's 7 feet tall. I did get he may be bigger than that because of the fact that months later I got I found some tracks in the woods in that area, and I believe that he was hunting deer. And because I had videos of trail camera I had left out there, and two or three of them, that was a deer standing there or two, and all of a sudden they look and then they just run for their lives, but you don't see anything chasing them, you know, which could be nothing. It could be a bobcat. It could have been, you know, some crazy person wandering the woods at 3 a.m.
Yeah, but the tracks, okay. What do they look like?
Well, so there was a whole bunch of impressions in the leaf litter, and I only stopped to look at one of them, and because it was very cold. It was like in the 20s the night before, and I think it was freezing at this point. But so something had pushed down on there and then propelled itself forward. And so the soil was mostly exposed. There was just like a couple of leaves in the way. And I plucked, you know, a few leaves away because I didn't want to disturb it or anything like that. And I found a series of claw marks, you know, carved into what I'm going to call permafrost. It's not really permafrost, but, you know, frozen soil. Mm. Okay. And these were made by a humanoid foot with non-retractable claws, and the adding like the toe pads and the meat on the foot, et cetera. I mean, the foot could be, it's Sasquatch size.
Wow.
Let's just put it that way. Okay. And in this next documentary or one of the next two, you know, I'm going to be showing that the track and figuring out the size, the scale and everything else like that. But, and it's interesting because its foot is sort of shaped like ours in that the pinky toe mm-hmm. is smaller and then they gradually grow as it goes towards the big toe. But our feet don't have non-retractable claws and they're not that big.
You
know what I'm saying?
Okay, Max, so, another quick timeout. Back with more of my conversation with Max Hawthorne right here on Strange Planet.
It's time to redefine reality. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
The Prince of Paleo Fiction, Max Hawthorne, and the Kronos Rising series of sci-fi thrillers is here, and he's put his writing on hold after the trajectory of his life has been severely altered. Beginning in, how far back do we want to go? 2016, he and his daughter see a strange entity hovering in front of their car in rural Bucks County. She cried out, "Daddy, it's a fairy." Fast forward to February 16th, 2023, and he captures an entity on the trail cam that is placed outside of a friend's house in Bucks County. So you're looking, you're analyzing this video, you're increasing the contrast to about 80%. This image starts to come through. You see eyes with vertical pupils. You yeah. see a broad or a brow,
heavy brow ridge.
Uh-huh. Fangs. Do we see fangs?
There are sharp teeth. Yes, visible.
Neck.
The mouth. Yeah. The so the entity being the reptilian. I call him Handsome. Okay, that's my nickname for him because I got several of them different. You know, because it kept happening after that. Yeah, there's another one I call Smiley, because Smiley actually came up and he mugged for the camera. Wow. Like, you know, he was cloaked, but I think he knew he'd be seen, and he smirked right at the lens.
So how close, the first time when you were out mm-hmm. there and you're standing
like 6 feet from him,
and you see nothing.
Most. So he could have killed me.
So obviously this thing has cloaking ability.
Yeah. But so what happened is when I first saw the first image, this is what I call the grimace shot. And it's like the best of the, there's like six or I don't know how many shots of him in the video. But when I first saw it, it was like not like at first I was like, oh, my God, it's a ghost. I've got a ghost on video. That's what I thought, you know. And then I looked, I'm like, well, that doesn't look like a human ghost if it's a ghost, you know, and everything. It was like, you know, is this a Bigfoot? Is this a, what am I looking at here? You know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And as you guys are seeing the documentary, you know, there's an analysis process. It's only 23 minutes, something like that. So it's not something you got to suffer through and you're going to enjoy it. But I analyzed like what we could be looking at. And I know he's a reptilian because I got more footage of him and I can confirm it 100%, but there's strong indicators in there. For example, when you see like his brow ridge, it has these round, what are called tubercles, which are like the round bumpy scales you'll see on like certain crocodiles, lizards, things like that. Okay. That are on the brow ridge and stuff. And there's like three different shots where you see his throat and there are these rectangular, you know, symmetrical scales.
Right.
Basically. On the throat, just like you see on an alligator or a crocodile. Okay. So the evidence of him being a reptilian in the first documentary is extremely strong.
Quick question. Does the trail cam record audio?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no audio. It was pin drop quiet. He didn't make any noise. I didn't make any noise because I didn't know he was there first off. And I was waiting for something to fly by and get recorded. Understand? So, you know, I think it was both cases, like a quiet showdown, like he's like, like this type of thing. And I'm waiting, like, you know, like oblivious to the fact that, you know, I've got like the equivalent of a bipedal dinosaur standing 6 or 8 feet from where I am. Okay. Which I probably would have had a heart attack and died on the spot, but whatever the case may be. And the crazy part is like when you're talking about like, you know, oh, could this be something on the lens and stuff like that, is like, there's like 15 frames or something like that of this grimace shot leading up to it and stuff, you know, and moving a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So this is not like, you know, this is a living creature. And I'll say this, these beings are not cold blooded reptiles, meaning they have emotions. Okay. And I show this throughout the video and you've seen it. One thing that's becomes apparent is that this cloak/portal, because there's a lot of weird stuff going on if you look at the portal, the energy, you see other beings if you look close. Okay. So, and some of them are kind of scary looking, but that's okay. Cause you know, scary is all relative. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you see a 12-foot female Nile crocodile, you know, you may go, oh my God, that's scary. But to a 16-foot male Nile crocodile, she's like Aphrodite. You see, right. Like beauty in the eye of the beholder, whatever. Right. So, but the cloak appears to function like an MRI or a CAT scan or something like that. It strips away the tissue, not physically, but what our ability to see it. It conceals it, you see. And so there are parts of it where you see almost like his skull, which, by the way, is sort of similar to that of a gorilla in terms of appearance. It has a short muzzle, doesn't have a long protruding snout like you'd expect. You know, he may have human DNA in there. I don't
conical
know.
Shaped, like a, what do they call it? A precipital bun?
No, I don't know about that part, but the top of the head there is conical in shape, which is why I thought maybe it was a Bigfoot, but it's not. So you see his skull. And when he was first recorded, he was turned to the side like this. He was facing to his right, which would have been my left. And I mean, you know, I don't know what he was thinking at the time. If he was looking around, you know, he's like, there's a human here. What am I going to do with him? You know, or whatever and stuff, you know. But and then he turns forward and there's this moment where his eyes pop. And I believe that it suggests that he realized he was being recorded. You know, he looks startled to me. Okay. And people could judge for themselves. But, and this also suggests that they know about trail cameras and everything else. And I'm sure they do, because these beings have, you know, are light years literally ahead of us in terms of technology, et cetera. I mean, they have. Now, they're just super advanced beings. So a trail camera for them, to them, is probably like a cave drawing for us, to us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, or maybe the first camera that ever existed, you know, on those giant tripods in the old West or something like that. Okay. So anyway, but so the point is there's a lot of emotions that you see him exhibit throughout the video. And the grimace shot, it makes me laugh a little bit, you know, when I discuss with some of my people and stuff about this, but because first he gets startled, his eyes are like this, like that and everything. And then his head leans back and you've seen it. So he's kind of leaned back a little like this. And he's like this, like that. And to me, that's the, oh man, I'm going to get fired for this kind of expression.
Busted.
And I'm serious.
Yeah.
Or I am so getting written up for this, or I am going to hear it, you know, or something like that, you know. And this makes me, I mean, obviously they have a civilization and a chain of command, et cetera. I believe that these guys are observers, you know, watchers that, you know, just study people, places, whatever.
Did you share this footage with the owner of the house?
Yes. Wait. I showed some of it and the reaction was like, oh, I don't see anything. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Probably best that he doesn't get become too aware if he's living there all the time.
Because some people have seen like the grimace shot and they think it's a demon. Like that's their reaction. But it's not. You got to remember that first off, that like I said, the cloak strips away tissue. It's part of the invisibility process. Okay. I don't know exactly how it works. I'm theorizing, but I've seen enough of it to know something. Like, for example, if you take your arm and you go to x-ray it, okay, and it's going to get rid of the flesh and you're going to see the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You might see some outlines of the flesh, et cetera. If you increase the intensity, you won't see any of that. You'll see just bone. And if you go far enough, even the bones will disappear and you'll just have a black film.
Right.
Now, that would be, of course, very unhealthy for the person whose arm was exposed to that much x-ray radiation or whatever. Okay. Oh, by the way, I ran a Geiger counter over the area, too, just so you know. So we'll talk about that in the next documentary. But anyway, so the point is that that's how it works. So, or appears to, I should say. And so when you're seeing him in the grimace shot, it's like his epidermis is missing. Like it's been stripped away by it.
Interesting.
You know, so he looks scarier than he would normally be. You know, like if my skin was all missing, it'd be like a horror movie.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Did you ever think, let's assume that this isn't, just for a moment, this isn't an extraterrestrial or it's not a reptilian. And, you know, there's lots of debate as to whether the reptilians are even extraterrestrial. They may be, you know, from here and they're underground and they've been here before we were here. Mm-hmm. Let's maybe take it into the realm of the supernatural, the paranormal. If it is, let's say, demonic, supernatural, I mean, it could project whatever it wants, right?
Well, I mean, the cloak is designed to conceal him. That's a given. And it may also be a mode of transport. When he backs away from me, you'll see him pull back and then you've seen it. And it kind of sucks in on itself and it's gone. Okay. You don't see the exact the full disappearance. You see it shrinking because the 30-second clip runs out. Right. Unfortunately.
Right.
Okay? But since I'm still standing here, you know, and he didn't do anything to me, obviously, you know, that, and that tells you something also, by the way, they must have some sort of code of conduct, because why would he allow this? You know what I mean? He could have taken the camera. He could have done something to me, et cetera, this type of thing. You know, it didn't happen, but let's put it this way. I have other images of him from additional footage, and it is 100% a reptile of some kind.
All right. Okay. This is part one, and there'll be more documentaries coming. Again, people can go to maxhawthorne.com. Hawthorne, HAWTHORNE, maxhawthorne.com. The link is in the episode notes. Just click it, sign up, and there are more videos, trail camera videos and pictures, and
I have something at, well, let me just say one, how much time do we have left?
Just a couple, 2 minutes.
Okay. Oh my God. I gotta be quick then. So the first thing is that I believe 100% he's a reptilian. The cloak could make him disguise him as anything, but he wasn't expecting to be filmed.
True.
So he was just hiding. So he was in his natural state, in my opinion. Okay. So there's that. Another documentary that's coming is, you know, those ABCs that people see all the time. Alien big cats,
yes,
the phantom
yes.
cats,
yeah,
the big black cats in yep. the UK especially.
Yes.
Yeah, I have one on video, 20 seconds of it, okay, from 20 feet away, okay, and it's going to show the world what they are.
Wow.
And I'll tell you a secret, they're not cats. So
there you go. Wow.
At least not all the time, let's just put it that way. So looking forward to it, man.
I can see why you've had to put everything on hold, the writing, that is. How could this not change your life entirely?
It's become a full-time thing, you know, and I just, I am blessed to be learning this stuff, and I love being able to share with people. It's difficult because there's so much hoaxing out there that a lot of people are like, oh, that's BS, you know, whatever. I'm not going to spend, you know, $6-7 to see, you know, whatever and stuff like that. So, you know, you get a lot of jadedness out there, and I understand that and all. But the truth is I'm going to slowly bring stuff out, and more people will learn, you know, without causing any problems or panic or whatever and stuff. And, you know, the world will be a better place.
All right. Well, until part two, I forgot to mention, we tried to record yesterday, and right in, we were about 10, 15 minutes in, and all the power went out in your house. And yes. I know
for 6 minutes, and then I tried to reach out to you, and I was sending you an email to explain that the power going out, and then bam, I couldn't even send you the email. It went out for like hours.
Yeah. So I don't know if something or someone is trying to interfere with our recording, but we got this one in the can, and I look forward to part two and part three. Max Hawthorne, ChronosRising.com for his fantastic series of books. He's the Prince of Paleo Fiction. And MaxHawthorne.com. MaxHawthorne.com. The link is in the episode notes. It's Max Hawthorne, Supernatural Survivor documentary. And go and check it out. Max, be safe, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Richard, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.